The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here on Christmas Eve. You know what I just realized? It just dawned on me because my wife farms this out to me. And when you have a little kid, you have to deal with this. You're out of this game. I'm going to have to put stuff together tonight.
Yes, you are.
There was one Christmas.
When she goes to sleep.
I think 2 or 3 years ago where we bought this kitchen set for Isabella. I think I was up till 3 a.m. putting that thing together. There were just so many pieces.
Yeah, we've done that.
Oh, and I know that there's boxes in our garage that I'm going to have to put together. One from Pottery Barn. It doesn't look that daunting, but that's going to be part of it. She'll go to sleep. And then I'll have to put everything together.
Because you'll be tired.
My wife sets it all up and makes like this whole like presentation.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because my older kids are with their mom in the morning and then they come over. I don't know. I'll pick them up probably like 12. Actually, I don't need to pick them up anymore. Dylan's got a car.
Mm-hmm.
So it's game changer. He'll drive over around noon.
I kind of envy you because you still have a young daughter. Mm-hmm. So I wish my daughters were young again. But that part of it, I don't envy you.
There's pros and cons.
Yeah, there's definitely pros and cons.
I've had kids spaced out, so it's like every 6 years or 7 years I'm redoing it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of great things about having a 7-year-old, but there's some things that are a pain in the neck.
I know, like
you
said, pros and cons.
Like I said, the stuff that I'm going to have to put together, because she still believes in Santa and set it up for Santa, you know, it's kind of a pain in the neck.
How old is she? She's 8, right?
She'll be 8 in March.
8.
Hmm. 8 in March.
Well, this morning I was... by the way, I've been sleeping terrible. You guys always make fun of me and say I go to sleep at 6 and I sleep until 4. I don't. Okay. I probably sleep hard for about 3 hours. I bet you if we did a sleep study, I would get the worst grade of the four of us. Now, you might because you don't sleep a ton, but I sleep
fine when I'm sleeping generally.
I watched the first quarter of the game last night. It was, you know, I don't know why. Just
pretty competitive.
Terrible game. Saints have given up. I mean, a lot of teams have just given up. But
first round, Mock didn't have a victory lap because he had Spencer Rattler as his number one QB.
Yeah. No, he's
over Jaden Daniels.
He's a backup.
Over Caleb Williams.
He's a backup. But some teams have just given up, and that's one of them. But I watched the first quarter, and then I fell asleep. And I probably fell asleep at, I don't know, close to 9. And then I woke up at 12. So I slept hard from 9 to 12. But I was up pretty much from 12 until I got out of bed at 4. I just don't sleep well from 12 or 1 until I have to get up.
That's brutal. Now, when I fall asleep,
I'm telling you, if we did a sleep study, I would fail it.
Are you waking up because of like a noise, or do you have to like pee in the middle of the night and then you can't go back to sleep?
Sometimes I got to pee, but my body just wakes up. And my mind just starts rolling and thinking about the day, and I can't get back to sleep.
I have a little theory on that.
Okay.
You also, in my opinion, are hopped up on a lot of sleep aids.
I mean, I just take melatonin. That's not a lot of sleep aids.
Okay, you've said before different concoctions, and for years and years you used to be an ashwagandha guy.
I take ashwagandha sometimes, which kind of just mellows you out, and then the melatonin puts you to sleep.
I think melatonin helps you fall asleep, but I don't know that it helps you sleep throughout the night. I can be dead wrong on that.
You might be right on that. Maybe that's the reason. But if I don't take melatonin, I'm telling you, I wouldn't fall asleep until 11. I would just be laying in the bed. My sleep cycle sucks. It's kind of depressing. Mike Marr, my sleep cycle is terrible.
You are dominated by sleep. I mean, here's the thing. We said this years and years ago, and we haven't been able to get away from this. When we started on the mornings on WHFS in 2002, the first week or two, we were just talking about waking up, how terrible it was, sleep, because we were a nighttime show. Mm-hmm. And the nighttime show was kind of like living the frat life. We were doing appearances at midnight till 2 a.m.
Right.
I would sleep. This was before kids.
Yeah, we didn't have kids.
I would
sleep
till 11 a.m.
Yeah.
I'd wake up at 11.
Life was totally different.
You know, we didn't have the internet then. I'd read the newspaper to find out what happened, like, late night. But actually, late night, I was up. Mm-hmm. I was watching, like, the 2 a.m. Sports Center and then going to sleep.
I was the same way.
And we said, we got to quit talking about sleep. Our listeners don't care about us talking about sleep. And we're still doing
talking
it
about it. Yeah.
Because it dominates your life.
Well, of course. I mean, it's part of life. When you get up at 4 every day, I'm just telling you.
I was pounding the lozenges.
I'm having a lot of problems.
So I have developed, I mean, it's this time of year, some sort of a head cold. And my throat, it felt like knives in the back of my throat. And I was just pounding lozenges last night, today. If it wasn't a two-man show, I might have called in.
Yeah. Well, the Packers did blow out the Saints last night. They beat them 34 zippy.
Are we getting into some junkie sports page here?
Sure.
All right. Let's open up the junkie sports page.
I'm not sure if there's a sponsor, but they clinch. No one's surprised that the Saints, you know, they got guys hurt. And they're not playing into their starters for the most part. Rattler was 15 for 30, threw a pick, sacked a few times. Jordan Love threw a touchdown. They ran for almost 200 yards. Jacobs ran for a touchdown. So the first drive was they just went right down the field, and I think Love threw it to Wicks. And then New Orleans got the ball back. I don't know, four or five. I think they got one first down, punted, and then Green Bay went right down the field again, and Jacobs scored. And it was 14-0, game over. So, and
that
they end
NFC
up winning 34-0.
Is a bear. I mean, you've got the Lions at 13-2 and the Vikings at 13-2.
Yep.
You kind of put them in a class above the Packers, who are 11-4, but I was just looking at point differential.
Mm-hmm.
They've outscored teams by 126. Their point differential is actually greater than the Vikings.
Correct.
You don't get many shutouts in the NFL. I don't care if you're a team that's quitting. It doesn't happen often.
Mm-mm.
To shut a team down like that.
Yep, you're right. Even if they're playing backups. Usually the backups can still manage, you know, 7, 10, 13 points, whatever.
The Packers have.
Or 19 points like
so
they did against
the 11-4. They've got the Vikings this week.
Got the Vikings in
and
Minnesota.
And then they've got the Bears, you're talking about teams who are laying down. They haven't won since the Hail Mary.
Right.
You upset the Vikings, it could be interesting for them. Now, the Lions would have to drop down.
Yeah, so right now.
But they still technically could win that division, I think.
Possibly. I don't know what the tiebreakers are within the three-way. But I'd have to go back and look at that. Because the Lions and Vikings have 13 wins. Packers have 11. So.
And, of course, Washington was rooting for Green Bay to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a chance, if Green Bay slides back, that Washington could get the sixth seed and avoid playing the Eagles.
Philadelphia.
Should the Eagles win the division, which we do expect.
Right. And they might be able to play the Rams or the Falcons or the Bucks. Now, they're still going to go on the road. So right now you've got five teams. Well, only four teams technically have clinched in the NFC because Philly has already clinched. Haven't clinched the division yet. Detroit, Minnesota, Green Bay, like you said, they've already clinched. Obviously, the NFC South winner. Right now, it's Atlanta. But Atlanta has the tiebreaker over Tampa because they swept them. So if Atlanta and Tampa both win out, then Atlanta wins the division. And then the winner of the NFC West gets in. And then, of course, Washington right now sits at that last wild card. So it's going
to
be interesting. Washington just needs one win or a Tampa loss to clinch.
Yes.
That's all they need. So Washington could lose this week, but if Tampa lost, and I don't think they are. Tampa plays Carolina. I don't think they're going to lose at home when they have to win. But if Tampa did lose, then Washington would be in.
Well, Atlanta, of course, has the Commanders this week, and then they have Carolina, I believe.
Yeah, so
it'll I know you give the edge to Tampa there, but Tampa's got to go 2-0. Yeah, I mean, they should. Panthers, Saints.
And Atlanta's got to go on the road, obviously, to Washington Sunday night, and then they got to play the Panthers at home. So I think Atlanta will drop the game this week. Do you like... I mean, we'll do this more of this on Friday, but
yeah,
my early lean
is the Commanders.
My early lean is Washington to beat Atlanta.
Although Penix looked all right.
You're right. I don't know what to expect there. We got to check on London's hamstring injury
too. Bijan.
Yep, you're right. They got a few weapons, but Drake London had to leave the game with a hamstring, so we got to check on that. Maybe we'll ask Jay Busby that later in the show. But I think that Washington will beat Atlanta, and I think Tampa will win out. So I think Tampa eventually will win the NFC South. And I think the Rams will win the NFC West. The only way Seattle can get in is if they win the division, and they do still play the Rams again.
Somebody tweeted this out this week. You can always hit us up at Junks Radio if you want to chime in, 800-636-1067.
Mm-hmm.
They said, is Jaden Daniels already the best quarterback in the NFC? I was like, man, it's debatable. Because when you look at the NFC, in terms of production this year, you got to throw Baker in there, but he's got a bunch of interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Baker has far more touchdown passes.
Mm-hmm.
You got to throw Jared Goff in there.
Of course, yeah.
But same type of deal. Like, if you look at Jared Goff's numbers and Baker's numbers, I believe Goff has one more touchdown pass and one less interception. So they're basically having the same year statistically. All right, obviously, the Lions are the better team. But if you look at the NFC... where would you stack Jaden Daniels right now? If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. It's debatable. You might say he's the best quarterback in the NFC right now. Like other big names, Stafford.
Yep.
All right, but he's older. I mean, you can just go through the teams. Brock Purdy's kind of... you wouldn't put Brock Purdy ahead of Jaden Daniels at this point, especially after this year.
No.
He's kind of slid back. Dak Prescott's hurt. Right. Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold's having a great year.
Sam Darnold's having a great year. So I think 800-636-1067. I think the guys that you would talk about, if you're going to debate, is Jaden Daniels, Goff, Baker, Darnold.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody stacks Jaden number one, I don't necessarily have a problem with
that. The thing that Jaden has, obviously, is the running ability.
Yeah. Well, it's part of the game.
If you're just going to talk about throwing the ball, I'm going to put a couple of those other guys ahead of him just because of the numbers and they're veterans. But the fact that Jaden can go out there and run for, you know, maybe he's going to get close to 900 yards this year. I could see why people would say that. But you just can't overlook guys who have thrown, you know, 33, 35 touchdowns. I mean, that's just a ton of touchdowns.
Right, Baker Mayfield has 34 touchdowns.
Baker
passes.
Mayfield could throw 38 or 39 touchdowns. Even though he's got a ton of picks, you have to look at all the attempts. I mean, he's thrown 500 balls, 506. So I don't know if that leads the league, but it's probably pretty close.
So Baker's at 34 touchdown passes, 15 interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Goff, 33 touchdown passes, 10 interceptions. And then Darnold, 32 and 11. So similar numbers for those guys. If you look at the quarterback ratings, similar. QBR, Goff leads the way of those three at 66. QBR, I mean, Jaden pummels them.
It's got 72.
Jaden's fourth in the NFL in QBR.
Yep.
It's Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, all AFC quarterbacks, and then Jaden Daniels. In the traditional passer rating, which we grew up with, I think Jaden's ninth.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's an interesting discussion. That Jaden could already be considered the top quarterback in the NFC.
Again, the running ability is a huge plus, and he hasn't turned the ball over like some of these other guys. But he's also not asked to throw the ball as much. So, you know, he did throw a couple picks this past week, and that second pick should have been a game clincher for the Eagles. The fact that the Eagles couldn't put the game away after that second interception, running it back to the 27, you know, that's on Philly. And then giving the ball back to Jaden, going right down the field and scoring a game winner. I can see why people would debate that, but I just think you can't overlook some of the other numbers that are being put up. You know, Goff, 33 touchdowns. He's probably going to throw 36, 37. Guys are going to throw almost 40 touchdowns. That's pretty impressive.
Right, but like you said, you can't ignore the running. James got six rushing touchdowns. Over 700 yards.
I know what Commanders fans are going to say. They'd rather have Jaden Daniels than anybody else in the NFC, and I can see why you'd say that right now.
Well, I think if you're starting a team, yeah, you'd want him over Baker Mayfield and Jared Goff. They're older.
Sure.
I mean, they're not old. But
yeah. Sure. Look, I'm a 49er fan. I'd like to have him in San Francisco. I would take him in a heartbeat.
Sure, Kyle Shanahan would, too.
Well, of course he would.
800-636-1067.
And I'd rather have Terry McLaurin than Deebo Samuel.
There was a stat put out by the 33rd team, I believe, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The best passer rating to a wide receiver in the NFL is Jaden Daniels to Terry McLaurin.
Well, McLaurin's got, what, 12 touchdowns?
You would think maybe it would be Joe Burrow to Ja'Marr Chase.
Goff to St. Brown.
Sam Darnold to Jefferson. Justin Jefferson. The number one combo is Jaden Daniels to Terry McLaurin.
Because why?
Well, just the efficiency.
Okay.
I mean, just the percentage of balls that he throws that way are coming down with
that's
catches by Terry McLaurin.
That's kind of surprising to me because Ja'Marr Chase has 16 touchdowns.
All right, we'll come back, take some of your calls if you want to chime in. It's our second holiday show, a holiday show of sorts here on Christmas Eve. Yep. Bish and JP hanging out, talking about Jaden Daniels. Where would you put him in the NFC? Is he already to number one? We'll take some of your calls next at 800-636-1067.